No.
The game of Tadpole. What? We're talking about Ape Escape, right? It's got monkeys on it. What?
Wow.
What? I actually have bananas downstairs. I was thinking of bringing one up.
Just a bunch of bananas to be like, hey, what's up?
Okay. No, actually, there was that one little scene. Not the scene. It was a old YouTube joke, YouTube video called Banana Phone. It was a song like, hey, what about a banana phone? I only remember this line from it. Banana phone, ring, ring.
I do.
Ring. Yeah, it drives you that. Bananas or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I remember all those old YouTube jokes or something. They just randomly pop in my head like, oh, I remember that old YouTube video that nobody thinks about anymore. But no, this is about the Gaming Tadpole where we talk about video games and all that. I'm Rails Chase Pun and we got Rihanna. Oh, I almost choked saying. And Craig.
Hi, I'm Hermione. All right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just got done with my hour-long talk with Yannet Senna, or Yvette Senna Jones, sorry. She was just an amazing woman, you know, talented in Tyler Perry movie or Tyler Perry series and also Disney. She's heading up on there. It was just a lot of nice discussions and a lot of interesting facts about Tyler Perry I learned that I didn't until now. And for today, though, not talking about Tyler Perry, we're talking about monkeys in Ape Escape. Ape Escape 2, to be exact. I played through that, and I have thoughts to say, so a little retro game review. And as far as the news goes, well, we're kind of dated with our discussion on GameStop, because when we talked about the GameStop stocks going up, we only covered the very beginning. We were like, oh, GameStop stocks are going up again. That means GameStop's back. As this week gone by, more information about the whole stock fiasco. But now we have not just one movie, we got two movies and a television series about this whole story in production. While this is still going on, it hasn't even finished yet. And already Netflix, MGM, and I think some other production company, they're all making a series out of it. And I have something to say about that. Other news, well, Stadia's going away, or well, the gaming, the Stadia's not working out. Mass Effect, they just revealed the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, the new remaster of the first three Mass Effect games that's coming to current gen and next gen consoles in May. So I have some thoughts of what I see from the trailers and the information gathered. Then there was one more thing. Actually, let me pull that back up. What was the other thing? Oh, Nintendo. Nintendo says don't expect a new Switch anytime soon. I'm like, okay, I get what they're saying. You're shaking your head like, oh, Nintendo, why? Well, we'll get to that. And that is what we have on the show. And just because we started a little bit later than usual, because again, I had a very, very interesting interview and also worked all day. Let's just go right ahead and get on to it. Well, actually, one little thing. There's some announcements. You know, I host virtual hangouts. There's one this Sunday afternoon. It used to be Saturday, usually is, but this time it's Sunday just because I have Saturday class just for a couple weeks. And then February 20th is me and Rihanna and Craig. When you're talking about this with you, you said you may or may not be able to show up. That's perfectly fine. We're talking about the Great Lakes Game Expo. Over in the Midwest, there's a gaming convention going on virtually where independent developers are showing off their works. And we got the opportunity. We're going to be streaming Rihanna's going to be streaming some demos. We'll be cracking jokes, having fun, and also giving away keys to Wave Crash, which was an indie game that was displayed on our last Extra Life. And that's actually how this whole connection started, because the developers of that same game are also the organizers of this convention. They're like, hey, why don't you two do your thing again, except for you play some of the games that we have mentioned or have displayed, and then, you know, give away some keys to our game as it releases this February as well, just in time. Now, because you are a part of this now, Craig, you also have the opportunity to be involved in our special events. So this isn't the only thing. The main thing right now we got is Extra Life, and there are big plans for this year. And, you know, starting this summer, close to summer, is when I'll have a meeting with David Downing. We'll discuss what we're going to be doing. When conventions come back and things are safer to arrive in person, I actually get press passes for the gaming events that happen in Texas. So like DreamHack and QuakeCon are usually places I go to, and they give me free press passes. You two are also privileged to those as well, being a part of this. And I know you're excited. I get you, because DreamHack is actually a big deal for streamers in particular. There's a lot of Twitch streamers and a lot of indie game developers. It's a big gaming event that happened in Austin for a while, and now it's back up in Dallas. I don't know what will be like next year, but just conventions being postponed and everything. But, you know, when things get back to normal, that'll be a thing to look forward to. Hopefully, you know, hope things are better by then.
I'm excited.
You're excited.
Whatever happens.
Yes, whatever happens. Everything will be good. No, nothing's going to explode. We're not going to turn to zombies. I just saw a news story about raccoon zombies now being a thing.
Zombies.
Well, yeah, there was this report. Hey, please be aware there might be some raccoon zombies in your area. I'm like, wait, what?
So what, are they undead? Like,
some zombie-like raccoons have like infested. Like, I forgot which part this was, but it wasn't a joke site. This wasn't The Onion or anything. This was an actual credible news or news station. And I was like, okay, now I'm kind of getting. We better have that vaccine before things get out of hand. I mean, I'm not that one who completely believes in zombies, but you never know. You never know.
Maybe all the zombie players from Call of Duty will save us.
Left 4 Dead 2, let's go.
Or Resident Evil. Resident Evil, yeah. So, time for the game discussion, which is Ape Escape. Now, I grew up with the original Ape Escape. I played it on the PlayStation 1, and then there was a PSP remake of it, or just a PSP port. And, you know, playing recently about PETA, I think PETA is kind of crazy sometimes when they complain about video games a little bit, because, I mean, these are fictional characters. I get the idea of not wanting to harm animals, but, you know, when you reference Pokemon and Cooking Mama, I'd be like, okay, calm the heck down. But if they were to get on Ape Escape, I would be like, PETA, you drive me crazy sometimes, but this is where both of us have to agree. Because playing through Ape Escape 2, the one thing that got through my mind is those poor monkeys. This is pure animal abuse to monkeys. What is Ape Escape about? Well, you got this kid named Spike, who is this Australian spiky hair. I mean, that's his name, Spike, and he's got spiky red hair. And there's this mastermind monkey named Spectre. He's this evil genius, almost like Mojo from Powerpuff Girls, kind of. He's this super...
Mojo, wait. Mojo Jojo.
Yeah. Okay, so his evil master plan is that he wants monkeys to be the superior race, the superior force, than humans. But then you're like, okay, well, what does the monkeys want to do? Well, the monkeys just want to hang out. They want to go to the beach, you know, get some suntan. They want to play with other monkeys. They want to just have fun adventure. And your job is to capture them. Capture them in a net. And I'm like, that's the thing is, okay, Spectre is supposed to be the villain. He always talks about, you can never beat me, Spike, and all that. He's got the villain voice work. And Spike, he's this Australian kid who's like, I'm going to beat you or whatever. But when you go through these levels of having to capture a certain amount of monkeys, now there is this posed game of, you know, capturing all the monkeys to get this extra boss fight. But in order to beat the game the first time, you just have each level, you just have to complete or capture an X amount of monkeys. It's usually most of them or half of them. But when you look at where the monkeys are, they're just minding their business. Like, I go through each of these levels, and the monkeys, they're not harming anyone. They're just having a good time. They're hanging out with other people. And now there are some random creatures you'll end up fighting. I mean, that appear, okay, they're hostile. But at the same time, Spike is a trespasser. Like, Spike is just, these animals want to be left alone, and Spike is invading them. Smacking them with a katana blade of some sorts, and then capturing them with a net, and all these other that's they call gotcha gadgets to just snuff out the monkeys and capture them for what? To have them as an encyclopedia. Now, I get what the first Ape Escape, they actually make, like, okay, the monkeys, they get a chance to breathe every now and then just to beat the crap out of each other, because they got those mini games where you can use the captured monkeys for different activities. But in the second one, no, they're just there so you can look them up in the encyclopedia. But you do have that one baby monkey that's on your side that's helping you capture the other monkeys. And I'm like, what are you doing? Those monkeys, they're not people. They're animals, but they have feelings, okay? You know what? I know the old story, no more monkeys, you know, monkeys jumping on the bed. Let them jump on the bed. You know what? Let them do what they want. If they break their head, if they bump their head, then that's on them. Then they have a learning lesson. It's a chance for them to be able to make their own mistakes. Stop trying to dictate these monkeys and they're doing whatever you want them to do.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
yeah. Gosh, this game.
Sure. Okay. How far did you finish the whole thing? Right.
Yeah. No, I beat the whole game. Okay. That being said, this game torturing these monkeys. Yeah, I captured all those monkeys.
Like, I mean, you could have had it, I don't know, and then you're like, no, like, I can't capture anymore, just, I'm tired of it, I'm done. So,
well, it's like the monkeys are just running away scared, and you know, there's some that fend for their lives, they some of them have Uzis, or some of them,
wow, okay.
You know what that is? There are these different types of monkeys, ones with rockets, one with an Uzi, like an actual submachine gun.
Wow.
With glasses, or not with glasses, shades. There are other.
I didn't know what an Uzi was. I mean, I thought it was just like a. I thought it was like a nuclear kind of something gun. Okay.
Yeah. No, they have guns. There are monkeys with guns. They are literal gorillas. And there are some monkeys that try to fight. There are even some monkeys that try to fight back with love. Like, there is these type of monkeys that will kiss you to stun you and make you invulnerable. Craig's like, wait, there are monkeys that will kiss you? No. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And now these monkeys sound like they need to be captured. At first, I was thinking just regular monkeys, happy-go-lucky in the forest.
Yeah, they are happy-go-lucky.
These monkeys sound like they could be a nuisance to society, so
well, no,
you go ahead and capture those monkeys.
These apes, they only kiss you in defense. Like, they're minding their own business, and then you show up and try to capture them. You're like, okay, I'm not a fighter, but I'm a lover, so maybe if I love now that's getting PG-13. I'm correct.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't consent to be kissed by a monkey. No. Yeah, you're getting captured.
I'm seeing stills of them. I was like, these are some. They look like sock monkeys.
But, yeah, yeah. It's a goofy, Japanese platformer. With just a bit of exploration using gadgets and all that. I make that joke, I'm like, yeah, you're not abusing real, these are cartoons, for crying out loud.
They're not cartoons. They're animated. Okay.
Well, yeah, they're anime, but they're not realistic monkeys. You're not like punching. This isn't Planet of the Apes or anything. Or it might be. They might have. You know, Sony is making their PlayStation studios.
Island of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? There could be an Ape Escape 4 where Caesar is the villain, and then it's all about apes together strong. So I mean, hey.
What do you do with them? After you capture them, they just, I don't know. What happens?
Well, that's the thing, is with the first game, it felt like you got to do things with them, but in the second one, at least, and I think in the third one, they open up more things you could do, but in the second one, yeah, they're just an encyclopedia, it's just a collection. Well, there's other things. Like, you can, there's this little ball, or they're like, you can get these coins at all of the levels, and every 10 coins will get you a new unlockable, which is either, I mean, they're basic things like concept art, little funny comic strips, music, and occasionally you get to custom, like, one of your gacha gadgets is an RC car, and each of these gacha gadgets, they're used for different purposes. Like the RC car, for example, is used to sneak into small places in order to flip switches or whatever, and you got other things like a hula hoop that you used to swing around and go very fast, and you got like a mini helicopter that allow you to jump higher. I mean, there are different gadgets to make the platforming experience be more varied. But as far as unlockables, yeah, not a lot of gameplay driven unlocks, just progressing through the game as it is. That's where you get all the gacha gadgets, and then after you beat the game, you get a boxing glove type of gadget that allows you to discover those special monkeys in hidden places. But outside of that, and I mean, the game as far as a platformer, most of it holds up, but I will say the one thing that is a big issue with the game that I think does not hold up at all is the controls. As far as how to play the game, you jump with the R2 or the R1 button and switch through your gadgets, which you have 8 in total. You have only 4 to switch from, and each of the gadgets, like, for example, having my PS4 controller here, each of the gadgets are each of these different buttons. And you have to, in order to use them, you switch to the gadgets using these different buttons, and then you use the right control stick to move them around, or you know, whatever the gadget is. And that is a bit confusing, especially if you're used to more modern games where you exit the jump button and you actually have like an item wheel. That's one big thing the game is missing, because you have to actually pause the game and go to the inventory menu and keep switching to different gadgets, which, I mean, it can be a bit annoying, especially when there are later levels that'll have you using all 8 gadgets. So you have to stop and, okay, I gotta use now the water sprayer gadget, which allows you to spray through fire so you can get through fire areas or what have you. Yeah, I'm like, okay, that hasn't aged well. But if you take that aside, the levels are still well-designed. They're all colorful. I mean, you go through varied areas, like through the jungle, through the snow area, through a sand desert. They all got their different puzzles to solve. I mean, it's got the ingredients of a solid platformer. The controls is just something that I think will hold some people back. And either you're going to be fine with it, or you'll be like, I don't know. They'll say the one part in the game where I felt the controls just sucked completely is when you're driving vehicles, specifically things like the tank. And there's only a couple levels where you're actually using a tank, but the tank has to fully drive the tank, you actually have to use both control sticks, the left and the right one, in order to move forward. You have to put both of them forward. And I was like, okay, that's a bit frustrating. There's several times where I've accidentally turned and I have to keep on flipping around the control stick. And there was a lava level where I'm on this lava boat, and I have to keep turning in order to get to like the other area, but I'll accidentally turn to the left or turn to the right instead of going straight. And that was probably the most frustrating part in the game. So yeah, the controls are dated, and I wish that they'd modernize that. But in this PS4 port of this PS2 game, all they did is they just updated the resolution. It ran at full 60 frames per second. I'm like, that's fine. Trophy support. I feel like in time, because this is such a nostalgic franchise, Sony might do a remake of either the first one or the whole trilogy, because they've been doing this. Crash Bandicoot had one, Medieval had one, Parappa the Rapper had one. I feel like, because Ape Escape had such a big impact on people in the PS2 and PS1 age, I mean on the PS5, I feel like one of their studios that Sony has right now, they'll make at least a remake. I don't know about a brand new game, but bring the franchise back just at least one more time. I think that'd be cool to have these games back, but with better controls. And as far as the challenge goes, so that's another thing, it being an old game, is it super hard? Most of the times it's not. It's actually a fairly balanced game. I actually got through most of the boss fights pretty easily. The final bonus boss fight and the boss, like the conflict with Spectre, that's the part where the game gets super hard. But outside of that, the boss fight right before that. But outside of that, the boss fights and the levels, they don't appear to be too much, which is fine. I will find it funny though. Because this game is super wacky. Monkeys doing all sorts of goofy things. There's even a part where you're capturing monkeys in the prehistoric age, going up on dinosaurs and all that. And there's a monkey like hanging on to a pterodactyl, and you have to shoot it down with a slingshot. super silly. It's not I'm serious at all, of course. I mean, even the boss fights you face prior to Spectre, the Furious Five or what they call it. And when I jokingly felt bad for the monkeys, it continued that in the boss fights. That the first one was like, he was a police officer, a monkey. And he's like, no hard feelings, but I'm just trying to protect, trying to do things for Spectre and everybody. And I'm like, man, I don't want to take down this guy and capture him, but I had to. That's just how the game is. It only got to the part where you get to this one boss fight. It's a pop singer monkey. So they have a German monkey, Italian, and German stereotype, by the way. It's a guy going, "What? I've got these great inventions," and it's also a scientist too. He sounds like Dracula for someone being an evil scientist.
Like a Slavic accent. Yeah. Is what you're saying.
He's a mix between a German science stereotype and then a Jewish stereotype. Then you got the Italian gymnastics monkey. The monkey that got me the most was the one who's the pop star, who has her own little stage show. I'm like, I don't want to interrupt the show. But at the end of her sentence of, "Hey, check out my stage or else." I'm like, okay, you're crazy. You gotta go. And there's
a part like Jigglypuff on Pokemon Snap.
Except that this monkey has a second stage where she actually goes Super Saiyan.
Oh wow.
Yeah, she goes into Dragon Ball Z mode when you beat her a few times, and she's like, "No, I'm really moon." And I'm like,
Oh my gosh.
This game gets weird, it gets crazy. And being super goofy as it is, so I mean, you can't take it for too granted. I'll say there are some dated dialogue, like the two people who are rooting for Spike. It's a scientist and a girl. I forgot their names, but the girl will sometimes, when you beat a level, when you go back to the main hub, the main female support character, she'll be like, "Wow, it shows you really are a boy, because I would never do that." I'm like, okay. It's one of those like, okay, girls can face danger and, take on things. And I'm like, okay, that's, we need to go past that. But hey, it's 2002. We have those type of
reddish hair.
Yeah, kind of. she has like ponytails.
Yeah, and a white skirt. That her name is Yumi.
Yeah, Yumi. I mean, that's just what the story is just dumb. I mean, a monkey's taken over the world with different stereotypes. I mean, yeah, alrighty, it sounds goofy, but I mean, if you're looking for character development, like Spike and everything, don't. Okay, Spike is just that anime kid looking to save or capture all the monkey. He's pretty much Ash Ketchum, and so I wouldn't go in this for story. I would just gameplay. And gameplay, it is fun. Despite the controls, I end up having a great time with it. You know, there are some definitely challenging parts. It's just fun exploring, because the game will reward you with exploring. There is this different secrets to find, like different secret areas that lead to special boss fights. And the boss fights are fun. I mean, some of them are very simple, but I enjoyed that. The one other weird aspect about these monkeys, besides all the things they do, In the haunted mansion type level, there is actually a room where you find a hidden storage of bananas and then tequila. I just look at that like, okay, so the monkeys have a drinking problem. No, yes, it's a bottle of alcohol next to bananas. I'm like, what kind of visual message do you send for what is a kid's game? No, that is...
It sounds very, I don't know. I mean, it's silly, but
this game is super silly. I mean, you look in this to have dumb fun, and you'll get that. So, I mean, if you can pass the controls and some dated things that would need to be improved, it's this good 8 out of 10. I mean, it's $10 on PSN store, so you can get like a platinum trophy if you want, and you spend like. Yeah, it's on PlayStation 2 as well, but there is a PS4, like, so the PlayStation 4...
You said the port, right?
Yeah, it's a port. It's a port with, like, 60 frames per second and higher resolution.
Fine, I was like, I only have the PS3, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, well, you can actually...
PS2 or PS4, and
you can get it on, I think, because the PS3 still has the PS Store open, so you can download it on there, I think. So, it's fun. Now on to the news stories, things that may or may not be so fun, I mean, depending on what you want to look at. Last week, we talked about GameStop, and we are
this
like...
is fun.
What?
I was like, say may or not be fun. I'm saying it's fun only because of the movie thing or the Netflix part, because Noah Centineo. That's why.
I'm gonna get to that, but first I want to say I do apologize, because all of us we got the dated story where we're like, oh, GameStop is back, it's got stocks back up, they'll live in another day. That is not the case. For one, this is actually. GameStop is just the monkey in the... I didn't mean to say the monkey in the middle, because I've been talking about monkeys, but GameStop is just a pawn for these group of people to go after these big corporations, the hedge funds and all that. So they just randomly picked on GameStop and like, you know what, we're going to raise the stocks just so we can quickly get money from GameStop. There was this joke saying that, oh, you know how GameStop, how you sell a game you sell a couple of games that are $60 and you get like $1 back for all in total, or $5. Well, how about I get $5,000 out of you thanks to these stocks. And you know, some people have been lucky. They got a few $1,000s just from participating in the stock craze. But as far as is GameStop surviving? No, GameStop is still struggling. There's a recent report saying despite stock soars, GameStop still struggles to hold on. So as far as the company surviving, no, that is not the case. But also this whole thing about GameStop's stocks going up is beyond GameStop. It's pretty much just people looking to get after the rich people by, you know, we're just going to find our own way to make a lot of money. So we're going to pick on this... struggling business right here. And same with AMC stock rose as well, and AMC is another business that is kind of struggling.
Wouldn't it be with all movie theaters, or is it wise just?
Well, I think what I mean, all movie theaters are losing money, but I think there are some theaters that are trying to work with the system. Like, for example, the Alamo Drafthouse. I think the Alamo I've heard the Alamo Drafthouse has taken some measures to kind of work with the environment they have. I think they even have their own digital store, little like where you can rent movie, like you can watch movies that they come to your home, you can rent them from there. So I mean, with things like those theater chains, they're actually doing what they can. AMC is the theater saying that no, you got to come to us in person, and that's when there's been this long debate about what's going to happen between them and these movie studios that are deciding to release these movies on demand. And that's where we eventually got to the deal with AMC and HBO Max, how those movies are being released in theaters and on VOD at the same day. But regarding these companies surviving, no, that is not the case. It is all about the little guys going after the big guys. Though this has gone so out of control that big political figures are starting to take notice. AOC commented on the GameStop stock craze. And Ted Cruz, this is what's really interesting, is that AOC gave her thoughts on this whole thing and said, yeah, you know, this is kind of getting out of control. And then Ted Cruz responded to her on Twitter saying, I agree with you. I was like, wait, didn't you try to assassinate AOC like last month? And no, this is true. Ted Cruz had plans to kill AOC with the riot.
Ted, stop, bro.
What?
Ted, man, that dude is something else.
Yeah, no, that guy's a piece of garbage. But that's why AOC actually addressed that in response, saying, "Wait, aren't you the same guy that wanted to kill me?" Yeah, I'm not going to kill you.
Ali saw clips of stuff, and I was like, what?
No, this Ted Cruz, like, that guy needs to be in jail. So that's my only side note on that piece of garbage. But
didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. There's another guy who actually commented on it. It's interesting because the third person to respond to this is none other than the co-founder of the Fyre Festival, Ja Rule. He's like, yeah, Ja Rule. Oh, my goodness, I'm not known. Ja Rule himself, the great Ja Rule from Fyre Festival and also the Trolls knockoff Trollland. He did
I didn't know he knew all these things. I only know the 90s version with the, you know, the songs. So
no, this is not the 90s. This is, so there is this company, the people who worked on the Sharknado movies. They also make these cheap knockoffs of big budget blockbusters. So like, for example, High School Musical, they have a movie called Sunday School Musical. Avengers. Yeah, I know. We actually, on this podcast, we talked about quite a few of their films. Actually, one of their most recent ones, you know, the Disney Pixar movie, I think it's Onward. Yeah, Onward. They actually have a movie.
I loved Onward.
Yeah, they have a movie called Homeward. Yeah, that's got the guy from Freddy Got Fingered as the principal. And it's a horrible movie. But
I was like, it sounds like it's not good.
No, it's not. And so is this. I saw Homeward for free, and that movie is terrible in all the best ways. It is some of the worst animation you'll ever see in a CG animated movie, and Trollland is 10 times worse. And that's the one with Ja Rule and Dick Van Dyke in the cast. Yes.
What a combo. What?
I know. Dick Van Dyke as the leader of the trolls in Trollland and Ja Rule as the main character. And there is this catchphrase he's got in the film, come on, we gotta save the trolls. And that's the thing, he's playing a kid with the voice of like a 30-year-old or 40-year-old man. So that's what's actually all of the kids in this that are in this movie, they're played by like grown men who sound like grown men. And the animation is so bad that like characters are glitching all over the place. No. Yeah, their bodies are going through each other. Like there's a part where Dick Van Dyke's character is like his eye pupils like leave his his character, and it never comes back for the rest of the film. No, and it's, yeah, no, it's such a bad film, but it's so consistently weird in its animation that you can't not look at it. But yeah, it is one of the worst looking movies I've ever seen in my life, but it was such a joy. It's also a horror movie in a way, because I mean, every character is spazzing out and just acting all weird. Like, that's you should see the trailer of it, and you'll be like, holy crud, this is an actual movie. You could, but anyway, that's the only side note of what Ja Rule has been up to, also doing ads for pizza companies as well. Yeah, that's his recent thing. He was in a ad for a local pizza business, and he was doing a weird commercial. But anyway, he had a comment on here, and guess what his response is? Hey, man, this is not right. This business needs to get a control. Like, he's condemning the Wall Street Journal and condemning, like, all these stock companies for letting the stock craze go out of control. And I'm like, I don't think you were in the room to tell other people how to control businesses when you made one of the most disastrous festivals in history that he's actually trying to bring back. So you're not in the room to talk, man. But all right, that's what his tweet was about. Yeah, I know. He's a crazy dude. But now we get to more recent news where, while this is still going on, apparently there's three productions already. There's MGM. They announced a movie based on an author's book called The Anti-Social Network, and it's going to involve the GameStop stock craze. Then Netflix is making their own parallel movie. So this is the same with the Fyre Festival, where Netflix had a documentary and Hulu had a documentary. So now Netflix has a biopic and MGM has a biopic. And now there's a television series in the works as well from another company. And I'm like, this is still going on. This hasn't ended yet. I just talked to a cosplayer recently who said that she just got, she put in funds or she put in stock money and actually participated in the stock exchange and got something out of it, or that's still going on. So you could still possibly win money out of this, but it is a gamble. That's a big quotation mark, is that in this lane, the game, we're now such as Robin Hood is starting Robin Hood has started putting in restrictions, and I think the government's gonna step in and stop this eventually, but where it stands right now, it's just a big casino gamble. You're either gonna win big or you're gonna lose it all. So that's the only thing, is like, you have to kind of be careful if you're really gonna still participate in this craze that's still going on. But the fact that it's still going on and they're already thinking about productions, like, wait, why are you doing this now and not tell there's a
head of the game? It's trying to do, it's like, sucks. Okay, here's my stake in this. While it hasn't finished yet, let's say, okay, it's there. So, you know.
Well, so this is why I actually don't, I think all three of these companies, now I could be wrong. You know, years later, they might, these biopics and documentary series, they might actually happen. They probably will. There will probably be a documentary on reflecting of all this that has happened. But
the about fact the year 2020 also. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. See, here's the thing though. When the Fyre Festival happened, going back to that, Seth Rogen came out and said, wow, this Fyre Festival, funny, because we're actually working on a biopic about the Fyre Festival. He said this a few years ago. We haven't heard anything about that biopic or that inspired film on the story ever since. Maybe it's still happening and it's in the back because of COVID or whatever. But yeah, that's where I'm like, okay, are these companies, say, because they legitimately have an idea, a creative idea to make based off of this whole craze that's been going on, or are they just saying it so people can log on to Netflix or MGM, whatever they got going on? I don't know. Like, that's why I'm not too easily to believe in this. What do you guys think with knowing all these updated stories about this?
So I really just think Netflix can turn anything into a movie or a series at this point.
Yeah.
just like Rihanna mentioned about the 2020 documentary, I saw Netflix is pushing that, like, oh yeah, let me watch the documentary about something that literally just happened like 30 something days ago. But you know, anything that's really big in the news, or that's going to be, you know, kind of entertaining as a story, they turn it into a docuseries. I mean, they have millions of subscribers. People are definitely going to watch that, especially the ones who don't really understand how it worked or why it happened in the first place. But am I going to watch it? Probably not.
I didn't know that anything was actually going to happen with 2020. I just said that because like it makes sense to do to for it to happen, but I didn't
know. Oh, Netflix has been pushing it in my face on the in the recommended 2020 morning or something like
yeah, that. Yeah, wow. they released that little documentary series at the last day of 2020, and that I caught that. It had Samuel Jackson and some big name actors yeah. in it as well, so. They pushed that out at the very end. Yeah, I could see, like, you know, somebody, if it, not Netflix, somebody's going to make, going to document this or make a biopic film about. I mean, there have been movies about the stock exchange or, you know, about the finance. I mean, one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Man, what was the name called? The Wolf of Wall
Street. Catch Me If You Can.
Well, no.
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street. Wall Street. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's totally it.
That I mean, with films like that, I could see something related about GameStop happening.
I did see a meme for that one.
Yeah.
I did see a meme with like the Blockbuster with the back, but it was like GameStop and yeah.
But as far as all three of these, three different companies making their own series or movies out of it, I don't know. I mean, that's the fact that there's not even a conclusion for it yet, and it's still going. That's where I'm like, yeah, it's too soon. But hey, you know what? Get on the train, I guess. What do you guys think is the speaking of conclusion? If we want to predict how this is all going to end, what do you guys think how this will end? Knowing that GameStop is still struggling despite this sore.
Really, I don't necessarily think that this is going to end. I think it's just going to be a transference of movement because you're starting to see GameStop stock dip lower and lower. I think it was like 99 like yesterday, where it was 300 like 2 days before. But now you start to see, like you were saying, the rise in AMC and other companies. And it's going to be these same Reddit pushers and other people trying to get in on this trend and push and spike other you know, stocks. I don't think it's really going to end. It's just going to keep transferring around. For GameStop, it's probably just going to go back to normal, maybe, you know, 20, 30, you know, 50 bucks higher than it was before. But I don't think that's going to cause any major changes in the company because they're, like you said, they're already failing as it is. And they're trying to partner with Microsoft and they're trying to do this and that to make it more, relevant. Sorry, was the word I was looking for. But I really don't see a major change in GameStop even after this, because GameStop is not the one that made it happen in the first place.
No, they were just a target, basically. They were the object to use. But Rihanna, got nothing.
I don't have it. No.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll stay tuned. If the next week there's more going on about this, maybe there'll be a video game based on this as GameStop stock simulator.
No, that's terrible.
Except if you're already not getting in trouble, it won't be called GameStop. It'll be like a parody or something. I don't know. That's anyway. Next is speaking of companies not doing too well, at least one particular product, Stadia. I saw this coming. Many people saw this coming, but they just recently said, yeah, we're giving up on the game. The whole Stadia game service, they're saying they're restructuring it, but really I think they're kind of quietly getting rid of it. See, I thought this was a bad idea in the first place, because the whole idea behind Stadia, the good news about it, it's basically a service where you can play your games anywhere. You could bring them on an iPad, you could bring them on the TV or on the computer, that same game experience. And you know, supposedly it will run 60 frames per second, 4K, all that. The thing is that you're constantly connected to the internet. You cannot play Stadia offline. Not only that, but you can't completely own your games, despite that you actually still have to purchase them. So in addition to paying $60 or $70 for a game, you also have to pay an additional subscription fee to be able to play online and actually keep them. So you're kind of paying double just to play a game, as opposed to PlayStation, where, yeah, you, in order to play online, you need PlayStation Plus, but to play a game in general offline, you don't need anything but just the game. In Steam, of course, you can just download the game, purchase it, then play it as it is, and your internet connection is your internet service. That's the only thing you're paying for. The other thing is that I keep hearing stories of people who own Stadia and keep running into issues where they have latency and the service is not exactly working as it's advertised. And just the whole thing about, you know what, I could just, for example, Cyberpunk. I could just play Cyberpunk on a different console. I love Cyberpunk. I played the crud out of it, like spent 100 hours on playing it on the PlayStation 4. Why do I need to connect to the internet to play a single player game and stay connected to the internet? Because that's the thing, is once I lose internet connection, I can't play that game. Or Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I have to be connected just to play the Tomb Raider reboot games. The other thing is that Stadia would also be behind in a way. Like, when it launched with games that came out a few years ago. And only by certain studios would have deals, like one of the Serious Sam games was a timed exclusive to Stadia for 6 months. Some certain mid-tier games would be timed exclusive. But then they would eventually come on other platforms and you could just play them as it is, as they were. And not only that, but Stadia also, from what I know from other people's experience with Stadia, it also didn't have, it was lacking some features some other online services contain. And that's where people drew comparisons between Stadia and, say, the Game Pass with Microsoft, which has been Xbox's greatest achievement, is their Game Pass. And they're like, you know, Game Pass is a much better deal than Stadia. Because for one, you have a subscription where you can get games at launch, as they launch, for free. And yes, this is a online subscription.
What do you mean for free? You said it was a subscription.
Well, no, the subscription isn't, but those games, like, you don't have to pay an additional $60, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Yeah. With Stadia, no, you do. You have to pay a subscription and the price of admission for the game, and you have to keep that subscription, or you'll lose that game, too.
Okay, so I've used Stadia, because that's how I got into Destiny 2 last year. And I didn't have a problem with it until, like, the trial was running out, and I was like, okay, wait, how do I do this? I want to keep my... stats and everything. Yeah, so I did the proper procedure and I brought it over to Steam. The graphics were totally different. I was like, oh, this looks much not as good. But I was okay, well, I got my what I need to off of there. And then I was given another trial. I was like, but I don't want to flip back.
Well, actually, one other thing that was also a restriction of Stadia, it advertised the heck out of this feature of being able to play on the TV, the little mini disclaimer that they slipped in is that it must be a Google product, a Google television. You must be connected to Chrome as well. So it's like, okay, so if I want to connect as my game experience, if it's just a single player game, the television or the iPhone, it has to be, connected online, paid the subscription, and the TV, the product I'm subscribing to, it also has to be Google owned. So it's like, if I don't have the all Google house, then, what's the point of the additional features that are advertised? So again, Stadia is playing in a market that's not even wanting it. And again, going back to the Microsoft or Game Pass is also compatible with the PC. So you can use Game Pass for consoles and on Steam with the Steam releases of the games. So again, that's a service where you are paying for the subscription to get these games for free, whether they're on console or on PC. You don't need an additional payment price. Now, with PC, you do have to download them on, I think, Microsoft Store. But outside of that, it's like, okay. So again, that's where I just see the Stadia just not winning here. And then you already got Amazon. Amazon tried their own studio, and there's already reports of that going under because that didn't work out. But yeah, what do you guys even think about Stadia's defeat here? I mean, that's what it is.
I really just think Google didn't lay down the groundwork. They just kind of threw out another random Google product like they do every 3 to 5 years, and then don't really follow up. What happened to Google Glass, y'all? What happened to those glasses? They were awesome. Nothing. This is another example where they come out with a product and don't back it up at all. You don't have any first title exclusives. You don't have any even brand new games. I remember Destiny 2 was like the main seller for Stadia. I play Destiny on like all consoles. I'm like, why would I want to switch to another system where it's going to be lower end graphics and it's not going to connect as well? And then when you're trying to compare the Google Stadia service to say Nvidia's GeForce Now or Microsoft's Game Pass, like they've spent years, if not decades, establishing a fan base, putting down the groundwork, setting up the system so everything runs smoothly, and recruiting people who are actually going to use that product. Whereas Google Stadia, like, you're really taking a chance. So the majority of people aren't going to be on your product. And as a result of that, you didn't get the money that you thought was going to happen. So you didn't put the money into the studio. Now you're not even going to have your own first title games. Why do they have to spend so much money on AAA Stadia exclusives? What's up with indie games? Indie games are not that expensive. You could just put a ton of indie games and have them be Stadia exclusive and use that to support. But hey, I don't work at Google.
I think the problem is Google tried to get on that. I mean, that's what happens whenever there's success with some system. When something is a success, that's the normal big problem with just the whole idea of, hey, we got to have that thing too. We don't know how it happened, but we're going to get it out now. Come on, right now. And that's what happened with Stadia. And I predicted that this was going to fail. And I'm not one of those people like, oh, new technology, I always want it to fail. No, it's just that there were a lot of red flags about Stadia from just the details on it. And just learning about all these other systems that have worked for years, I just was not on board with it from the beginning. I had a friend that I love dearly who just kept on trying to convince me, no, Stadia is the future of gaming. I'm like, no, just give it a year or two. That thing is going to go away. And hey, there we go. Now they're saying, hey, we're restructuring it. But that's their way of saying we're just going to put it in the back and think about something else. Yeah, I mean, it is, this is what happens. I know. So rest in peace, Stadia. You were a thing. You were like on live. Remember that?
I still liked it because like I said, when I put it to Steam, the graphics were different. It's like, oh,
yeah,
but it's fine. Yeah. I don't really care that much in big terms. So yeah. I got me into Destiny 2. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, we did have it was like tractor, some kind of tractor pull thing. I tried. It was entertaining.
Was it Farming Simulator?
Yeah, it must be it.
Yeah, that game's actually really popular.
Oh yeah, well, Farming Simulator is on, but that's the thing, is that's another game. Get it on Steam, get it on PS4 even, and get it on Switch. Yeah.
I put on PC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, another one that's on PC. Yeah, another one that's been working is again Apple Arcade. That's been basically, it's $5 a month, and you, again, just like Game Pass, you get all these free games to play. And a lot of them are indie smaller titles, and some of them would eventually
Sonic game on there.
Yeah, they actually have a Lego game, like a Lego beat 'em up game on there, and I was like, yeah, that game looked pretty cool. And some services are gonna work, some are gonna just fail. I mean, Google, they got a lot of things going for them that are a success, so I don't think this is going to be a big deal for them. But just for all those people who spent money and investment in the Stadia, then I just feel bad for them. But yeah, on to the next thing, and going to Nintendo. So this has been rumored for so long. Is there going to be an updated Nintendo Switch console where it's going to have the same graphic fidelity of the modern, like the PS4 and the Xbox One, or the PS5 and the Xbox Series X? And the whole thing that Switch, the Nintendo has had a disadvantage for a while regarding their consoles, is that they're always the ones that feel underpowered compared to the competing consoles. But to be fair, Nintendo has thus recently said we're not interested in competing with Sony or Microsoft, and that's fine. They're doing their own thing, and it's important to know they keep getting success out of it. And now I think this the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, they're at a disadvantage because they're shortage and because scalpers keep taking those systems up. But it's actually, by analysts reports, Nintendo Switch is still the top selling gaming console, beating the PS5 and the Xbox Series X by quite a bit. So with all this being said, there's all, okay, when's the, you know, when we're going to get an updated console, console with better graphics, because the Switch is underpowered. So that way I can get, there have been plenty of games that are like big budget games that would get ported on the Switch. But what about a Switch port where the graphics don't look worse than on, or the graphics aren't hindered, or, you know, we're not having to make some sacrifices in order to port this on. It just looks exactly as good as the other platforms, running full frame, 60 frames per second, all that. And Nintendo's like, We think we might, because there's been back and forth saying with even the heads saying, yeah, we're open to the idea of a new Switch, a better, more advanced Switch model in the future. But they recently said, don't expect one anytime soon. They basically shot down all these rumors saying there's going to be a new Nintendo Switch console coming this year. Now, my response to that, you have to keep this in mind. The Switch came out in I believe March of 2017. So coming this March, the Switch is going to be 5 years old. Or, well, no, okay, not 5 years old, but it'd be 4 years old. You know what? I don't think this is just considering how consoles have lived all this long. You have to even look at the PlayStation, for example. Between the PS3 and the PS4, that was a good 7 or 8 years. The PS3 came out 2006. The PS4 came out 2014. No, 2013, the end of 2013. I think it would be very risky to have a new advanced Switch console just 4 years after the Nintendo Switch, just because how much consoles cost. And especially now where the economy is not exactly there, and, you know, with the pandemic and everything. So with them saying, don't expect a new Switch model soon, I'd be like, no, I'm all for that. The other thing is, Nintendo still has quite a few games that are coming out. This year is a big year for Nintendo, in fact. I mean, you have to look at the release calendar. In just 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks, is the Mario 3D World bundle with Bowser's Fury. And even at that same month, two more games. They have a remake of Ghosts and Goblins, or Ghosts and Ghouls, that a really difficult platformer by Capcom, where you play as like a mini Sir Arthur. You're throwing axes and all. It was an old NES game, but they have a remake of it. And at that same month, Bravery Default 2, which is this sort of spiritual successor to Final Fantasy. It's like back to the turn-based combat era of Final Fantasy, made by Square Enix, coming at the end of the month, March. Monster Hunter Rise, a brand new Monster Hunter game exclusively for the Nintendo Switch. I think there is another game in between that, but April, Pokemon Snap, a new one. Yeah, Pokemon Snap, snap the Pokemon.
I mean, that's on the song. Okay.
Yeah, the Pokemon abuse simulator.
No.
But then you look at the games they've got in the works that haven't been released yet. Breath of the Wild 2, that's coming to the Switch. Metroid Prime 4, you know, that's silently been worked on. I know they had, I mean, it's been a couple of a while since we heard from it, but I mean, you know, behind the scenes, they're working on it. Another title. There's a new Harvest Moon game out this year. What's another one? They recently announced their acquisition of Next Level Games, which is the creator of the Luigi's Mansion and also Super Mario Strikers. No More Heroes 3 is coming out, I think, this year. Bayonetta 3 is coming out at some point. They've got either new IPs or big franchises they own. There's a new entry in the works to be released over the next couple of years. I think more appropriately, a new version of Switch or a new advanced Switch model. You know, I would give this console 7 years of life, or at least 6 years of life. I would not end it just this year. Okay, go ahead, Rihanna.
Okay, what I'm now seeing, I was like, I have no idea what the things were, but it says Rune Factory 5.
Oh yeah.
Garden Story looks interesting. Skate Bird.
Oh well, Skate Bird, that's an indie game.
Skate Bird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know the developer behind it, Megan. That's funny. Her name is Megan Fox, but she's not the Megan Fox you're thinking of. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, she. not the Transformers okay. Megan Fox. It's a different Megan Good. Fox.
Okay.
But she is. Yeah, I've talked with her. I think I will be getting press for that. So I'll, nice. When that game comes out, nice. You know, there'll be a game to cover. But Skatebird's not exclusive to Switch. It's also going to be on PS4 and Steam as well. I'm talking about games coming to Nintendo exclusively. But that's a good reference. Also, multi-platform games that are coming to the Switch as well. Lego Star Wars. And you know what? Bethesda is still finding ways to work out in Switch ports. I played the Doom, the Switch version of Doom, and it's pretty good. Like, you know, you could say, yeah, it does not look as good as the PS4 and Xbox One and PC version. Yeah, you see some sacrifices they made, but it's not even a massive amount. Like, I played it handheld, and I played it, television. I'm like, you know what, there's ways to work around this, even if that sacrifice is there. And the thing that Nintendo has over the other two consoles, it's the one console you can take with you, and you can also play on docked on television. And at the moment, there's no other gaming system that is like that. Now there's a PC clone of it. Like, there's a either Nvidia or someone's making like their own Switch but for PC games. That's a long ways away. I don't think that's going to be coming out anytime. They have a prototype for it, but it's not coming out anytime soon. So you just have the Switch. Honestly, I think they're good for now. It's just that Nintendo's just going to make sure, you know, the console is going to stay relevant. Keep it up to date with games, adding features and all that. You know, I mean, eventually the console's going to go and we're going to get a more advanced one, but I don't think we're ready for a new system this year. That's my opinion. What do you guys think?
I just found a JRPG. It says Chris Tales.
Oh, that's another multi-platform game. But that game looks cool too. That's coming out in July. But what about you, Craig? Because you were shaking your head when I brought that story up. So you're probably...
I'm actually okay with it. I mean, I was really hoping for a Switch Pro release this year. I thought it would be a great follow-up to the Christmas season with the PS5 and this Xbox. But I'm really just kind of happy that they were able to put down these rumors. I don't want them to have the same pressure that CD Projekt Red did with Cyberpunk. Yeah. I feel like it's better to go ahead and say, hey, don't expect it anytime soon. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be several more years. I wouldn't be surprised, especially if you said it's 4 years old now. 5 years old would be 2022. That would be the perfect time. or even if they release not necessarily a new version, but just an updated one, give us longer battery life and maybe a slightly better CPU. And for Christ's sakes, fix the issues with the joysticks. That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the Switch is perfect as it is. It's just that, I mean, I'm looking at it from purely from just how, from the economic standpoint we're at right now. And not only that, but just how consoles normally, they've had at least a good lengthy lifespan. And I think that's the problem Nintendo had. And Sega had this issue. And that's why Sega stopped making consoles, because they kept, you know, making a new system in just a short span. Like there were consoles they've made that only lasted maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. And I think if Nintendo were to do that, if they were having like a short lifespan on their $300 whatever consoles, I think that would hurt them. So I'm saying give the Switch at least 6 or 7 years before you bring out a you know, a new system, especially when you're thinking about trying to stay on top of your competition. Again, the Switch is ahead of Sony and Microsoft right now. But another thing is that Sony and Microsoft aren't even in that position to completely sell the PS5 and Xbox Series X because of the issues they're going through right now. So Nintendo's at advantage when, you know, PS5s and Xbox Series X, they're much easier to get. Yeah, that is a question to think of. Is Nintendo going to fare well, despite even though they're saying they're not competition, but still the fact of bring to buy this console, the other. I want to see a new update Switch probably 2023 or 2024. Like, I even think 2022 might be a little soon. I mean, you have to look at the Wii U. The Wii U lasted for only 5 years, even 4 years and a half maybe, and they just shut that system down as soon as the Switch came out. I know, right when the Switch came out, because they said, oh, we're going to support the Wii U for a couple more. No, they lied. They cut the cord for the Wii U once the Switch was a success. They're like, we don't need this thing. And that was actually Nintendo's biggest console flop. And the GameCube was another story. That was a big flop for Nintendo. I know you love the GameCube, but it didn't sell that well. That's the thing is,
cannot understand it at all.
Yeah, the thing is, the GameCube lasted because the N64 went from 1996 to 2001. Like, their last games came out in 2001. GameCube was 2001 to 2006. Now, they had a couple more things in 2007, but that was it.
Handhelds.
Pretty much cut the power for that. And the Wii was their big success, to where they had the Wii going for quite almost 10 years. So that's the thing. Since
I still got it on the end.
since the Switch is such a success, that's where I'm seeing Nintendo's mindset is like, you know what? Why do we need to crank out another console right at this moment when we have so much making so much money off of the Switch? And not only that, the economy as it is right now, if we were to release a new Switch this year, it probably won't do as well. And even the Switch Pro, it just sold more than the Wii U, but the regular Switch model is the one that's making most of the sales. The Switch Lite, I don't think is the data people are really looking at. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. I don't think we're ready for it, but Rihanna, you're the one who doesn't even have a Switch, so
I don't know if how many times I've said this.
I mess with you because I love you.
I want to finish Skyward Sword on the regular Wii. The Skyward Sword is not even my game. Like, I still borrowed it for like 3 years from my friends. And that's why I don't want anything new yet.
Well, what are you gonna finish?
I have to finish it.
Breath of the Wild. There you go.
I was like, because I've been wanting Breath of the Wild since before it came out, and now there's going to be a sequel, and I still haven't come. It's fine.
Yeah, get for Breath of the Wild 2, and then all the spoilers leak out for Breath of the Wild 2, and you don't want to be behind
that. But it's a game, but I don't care about spoilers. Like, it's not a book. It's not a movie. It's fine. It's a storyline.
I heard the story
has multiple good. Branches.
Skyward
Sword's great.
Yeah, I mean, I like the stories in the Legend of Zelda game. So I mean, All right,
that was one last rumor. Actually, there is rumors that there is going to be a Skyward Sword remaster with the Nintendo Switch controls. I would really enjoy that because I did love that game, but sometimes the Wii controls were a little bit wonky. But I played it like in 2019, so you know, it's already hard to find a working pair of controllers. So I would really like to see that port onto the Switch.
I see that happening because of, you know, Nintendo's been doing that as well. They've been remastering or reporting just older games. So that, speaking of remasters, that goes to our last thing. Mass Effect. You know, it's been the worst kept secret. There's been rumors for a while there's going to be a remaster. It's funny because years ago at the beginning of this console generation, they actually, people asked, hey, can we get a remaster of the Mass Effect trilogy? And EA said, no, you don't need that. And I think you know what, EA has had so much butt whoopings that they recently have gotten in a better state. I actually like EA right now. You know, I played some of the recent games. They've learned from their mistakes. And besides the sports games, that I don't even play them anyway. You know, I have more faith in EA than I do have in Ubisoft. That's probably my opinion regarding that. With this remaster, though, now that we know it's a thing, it's going to happen, or release May 14th, so in a couple months. And it's all three games with all the DLCs. And they've mentioned that there are some enhancements. The enhancements are, we're going to add some more textures and, you know, more lighting effects and all that. The other thing is we're going to overhaul the heck out of the first Mass Effect to make it play like the sequels. And we're also going to add some more tweaks and enhancements and whatnot. There is not going to be the multiplayer from Mass Effect 3. That will not make a return. And they've said the reason why, because they focused more on trying to modernize more the trilogy than they did on trying to, because they said, yeah, if we were going to bring the multiplayer back, then we had to worry about crossplay and, you know, updates and all that. So like, you know what, just the single player. The other thing is that if you are a PS5 or Xbox Series X owner, you're not really going to get a big advantage on buying the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, because it's not going to come with any of the next gen enhancements. There's not going to be ray tracing or any of those other things. The reason why is that this remaster is still running on the Unreal Engine 3, but it's going to have everything, the DLCs, everything of Mass Effect. Oh yeah, more character customization. And the other thing is because originally Mass Effect 3, you actually had to play the multiplayer to help shape the ending of the game. They've also tweaked Mass Effect 3 to where it doesn't revolve around the multiplayer. But yeah, all three games. And I think that's awesome because Mass Effect is such an amazing trilogy. I have to think about it, like, those are some amazing stories. That whole trilogy. Yeah, even as some people say, the controversial ending of the game. But I went past that just because they did go back and updated the ending. They did in a free update. Post the game's launch, they improved it. And they even said that this remaster of the game will include the fixed ending. So I'm not going to stress about mistakes that were made at launch for Mass Effect 3. But yeah, the original Mass Effect 3 endings, they were confusing as heck. And they weren't that great. But the thing is, as much as this game, these games are great. I mean, from what I even remember playing them back then, they were awesome. Even Mass Effect 1, I had some issues with it, but I think story-wise, it's still a great game. I mean, basically, these are like the best Star Trek stories, in my opinion. I mean, because they have somewhat of a Star Trek influence, this world that they've created. And that's funny because there's rumors of a Mass Effect movie in the works as well at some point, but I don't know what's happened with that. But regarding, we're on this. And of course, we had Mass Effect Andromeda. That didn't work out. This is their way of trying to get people back into Mass Effect despite what happened with Andromeda. And so that's where I get why they changed their tune on making this remaster. Not just because they've, in recent years, they've improved, but also they're like, you know what, if we want to get people interested in the new Mass Effect we got in the works that we teased but didn't say much of, let's just bring back the whole trilogy for the current gen systems. The thing is, I looked at the trailer, and while I appreciate these enhancements, I do a lot. Because I remember there's a community of people who hate the Mass Effect sequels, but only like the first one. I used to hang out with a guy who would just rant about games and just be angry a lot. Because he would get very influenced by these angry YouTubers, all that. And he would talk about Mass Effect. He's like, yeah, Mass Effect 2 and 3, they kind of suck. They were big disappointments because, you know, the first Mass Effect game, it was big, it was open, it was an RPG, and they took all that stuff out. They put restrictions. And me, I played Mass Effect 2 first because I owned a PS3 before an Xbox 360. And Mass Effect originally was Xbox exclusive until the second one came out, and then they went back and ported Mass Effect 1 to the PS3, and the whole trilogy became multi-platform. When I played the original one, I was like, yeah, there are some things that are just dated about that. And part of the issues was the open world. Like, it just felt so empty. Like, the pacing was just so bad. Despite how much I was invested in the storytelling, I was like, man, this is just a big empty hallway of the Citadel, just going from one area to another just to get to one place. And the elevator scenes, the controversial elevator scenes, how I have to wait a full minute to go from one floor to the next, just waiting in an elevator. And the Mako would just control like a Hot Wheels toy. So that's what they put in the info, is that they're improving the crud out of the first game to make it pace much better. They even said you can skip the elevator scenes. There's less bugs. You know, the AI is better, all that. So that sounds great. But when I see the remaster, my whole thing is that because it's on Unreal Engine 3, despite the enhancements they're making, which are appreciated, they are noticed, but you look at the game and go, this still feels 10 years old. And that's when, because the thing what I saw when I saw the Legendary Edition trailer, which is showing all the technical improvements, the wide spreads of the ship going into facing the Reapers, or the villains of the series, and going into space, it looks gorgeous. But then when you go to the character models, they look like PS3 character models. Like, even the motion capture. People talk about the lip syncing. I'm focused on the motion capture looking like early motion capture. You know, where the character models, they're bobbling their heads. They're like, I'm not that. Shepard, we have to get to the Citadel, you know? And, they wouldn't have much emoting on their facial animations. And that's what I've just been just watching the trailer. I was like, I mean, I'm not a big harp on graphics, except the other thing I have to include is that this is a $60 game. I don't know if it's $70 for the PS4, but it is $60 on, I mean, PS4, the PS5, but it's $60 to get it on PS4 and Xbox One and PC, which if you look at the original trilogy that you can get, because this was bundled as a whole trilogy before, you can get it on PS3 or 360 for half that price. And when I look at this, I'm like, is $60 worth what is kind of improvements? But if you want to compare the remaster to, say, Activision or Sony, what they've been doing with the remasters of Crash Bandicoot, with Spyro, with Medieval, with Tony Hawk, when you look at those remasters, it's like, wow, this game looked like it came out today. It's only $40. Plus, with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, they added so much to that game where it just felt like its own thing. But when you see this, it's like, okay, no, it's the original. It's three games, which are both of them, they last somewhere around 10 hours to 40 to 60 hours if you want to complete all the side missions. So you can spend quite a bit of time on this whole trilogy, especially with all the DLC added. And that's one thing that this collection has over the other collection they did. That was the one thing with I forgot what the name of the edition is, but when the original trilogy bundle, they had this thing where the PS3 and the 360 version, they had one DLC and then the other version had the other DLCs. It's like you have to collect all three port versions of the same game to get all the DLC. I'm like, okay. But in this one, it's like, no, regardless of where you buy it, all the DLCs are going to be there. That's good. But looking at it, it's like this game still looks old, though. I don't know how I feel about that with it being $60. What do you guys think? What?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, actually, me and Rihanna had a back and forth about this when, because now I have to think about the Super Mario, the Mario 3D trilogy games that were on the Switch. That was, you know, those were great games, but that was a horrible port. That wasn't even I wouldn't even call it a remaster. They with even Super Mario 64, they kept it on a box screen, even when you're playing it on full screen. It's like,
I guess they couldn't fix those things. I mean, it's
no, not they like... advertised it though. In the trailers, they said, hey, widescreen, you can play experience Super Mario 64 in full high resolution, and they lied. It's actually right when the game came out is when they pulled that edition that they set regionally said. But it's just pretty much, hey, we just poured in.
Sounds like they tried and it didn't work. So,
well, yeah, then why do you advertise it? Say that's a promise that you're going to expect for a game that's $60, by the way, for a trilogy of games that have almost no enhancements. Like the camera controls in Super Mario 64, they need, like, you say that's great the way
I have played it because I was now when my niece and nephew come over, that's what they play. The Super Mario 64, and that's what I'm like seeing. I'm like, oh, look at that. Oh no, you have to do this. So I remember the controls. I don't have any issues with the controls.
No, I mean, I don't have an issue with the controls. I just have an issue with the camera. Like the camera in Super Mario 64, I think
you have to keep pressing the yellow C buttons to like adjust it. That's all.
But it's just that with all these remasters, these games being so old, but still being released for $60, and just seeing these other remasters.
Three games in one.
But still, what? Yeah, it's but only so is Spyro. But look what they did with Spyro. That's the thing is.
What they do with Spyro? What?
They changed the heck out. Like they made the Spyro trilogy look like a modern game. Like. If you never heard about Spyro and you just put on the Spyro Reignited trilogy, you'd be like, okay, did this game just come out today? Made this trilogy. Like when you look at what Activision's done and then you see what these other companies do and charge for $20 more, I'd be like, yeah, that's where I'm just a little bit hesitant. But then again, there's a lot of buzz around it. A lot of more people are excited for this trilogy than not. So I'm like, okay, maybe I might just sucker in and still get it anyway. But what do you guys think? I mean,
I think $60 isn't really asking too much for a remaster, especially if it's including multiple games, especially when you compare the Mario trilogy. Like you said, they didn't really remaster it. They didn't really change the controls. But they just slapped limited time on it, so people were going to flock to it because it was Mario.
Yeah.
I think if they're really going to make the changes, like you said, get rid of those loading screens, smarter AI, make everything look better, especially on 1 and 2, then, yeah, in comparison to some other $60 remasters that have come out, you're definitely getting your money's worth with this one, as long as everything performs when it actually comes out, which we're waiting to see. But it sounds like, it honestly sounds like another try on the Master Chief collection that Microsoft has. If you're putting Mass Effect, all of them in there, and who knows if it's popular enough, they may eventually port in Mass Effect Andromeda, which would be perfect right before the release of the newest Mass Effect.
They might. See what happens. Because I heard that after the game had its release that it was bad, they did go back and they didn't. Updated and they improved it. Though, I mean, you know, the whole thing about releasing a game and then fixing it later, that's something that EA has promised that they won't do anymore. And you know what? Hey, you know what? They've released games since then. You know, Apex Legends has been a hit. Their recent Star Wars games, and after Star Wars Battlefront 2, they've been they even went back and improved Star Wars Battlefront 2. So I have faith in EA. maybe I'm just spoiled with Activision. That's just me. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's a great way to, hey, people who've never heard of Mass Effect, they'll get back into it and experience the trilogy. It's a trilogy of great stories, excellent music, gameplay. I mean, you look at Metacritic, all of the games, all three of them are in the 90s as far as like Metacritic score. So these are like some of the best reviewed games in gaming history. Now, how will they fare today? Will people still love them as much? I don't know. That'll be an interesting thing to dive into when it releases May 14th. But, you know, a great holdover for their next Mass Effect game, whatever the heck it's called, that they just tease and didn't say much of. But years later for the PS5 and Xbox Series X, we'll know about that and the Dragon Age game too, which... hey, maybe if they see this, they'll be like, let's do the Dragon Age trilogy. So, yeah, you know, who knows? I got optimism more. But that is all we have on the show. And thank you all for being, you know, always just being with the ride and just having fun, despite this going later than usual, just because of my interview. Next week, you know what? It might be some indie games that I've been playing recently, or it might be Super Seducer 3. Because that's coming out.
Oh.
Yeah, that's coming out. I heard there was a... Yeah. I saw footage of that. And you know, Little Nightmares 2 and Mario 3D World come out next week. So, yeah. Anyway, until next time. So, Hermione617, you know where to find her on Twitch, streaming twice a week. Craig, all the stuff that you got.
Bird up everything.
Yep, bird up everything. And this will be on everything.
Just name the platforms. Just name the platforms then.
Well, hey, Punchpress is on everything. You could say everything.
You can't say it. It does it.
Punchpress is even okay. In the refrigerator.
All the platforms. Twitch, yeah. YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter. My own platform that I'm going to invent one day. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. You can open up your refrigerator and get some Pons Press. So.
Wow. No.
All right. Okay.
Not at all.
And this will be on.
I don't know. What's the expiration date on this Pons Press? I need to get some fresh Pons Press.
Yeah. Besides the podcasting platforms, Facebook.com/PonsPress, Instagram Pons Press, Twitter at @CheeseMod64. Putting little video clips on TikTok and Instagram, and I'm deciding what to, you know, I'm working how I'm going to keep the YouTube, because I'm trying to figure things out. I've had issues with uploading things onto YouTube because of how long it takes just to get a 30-minute or 40-minute video up. We had a cosplay panel that we were trying to upload. It took forever and it never got uploaded because for some reason a 40-minute video took a day or two, and I was like, okay, what is going on here? So I'm trying to figure out, but I'll find a workaround and bring that back up, and when it will be up, then I'll start pushing the YouTube again. Maybe I'll do like little video, like snippets, like 10-minute clips or maybe short bits. I don't know. If you guys want to talk about suggestions after the recording and give me some advice, I'm open to it. Till then, take care.
Bye.